8. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, down just a little ways. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And then over in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years, 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. The Lord bless you. May be seated. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on meal barrel religion. Meal barrel religion. That's a good kind to have. Amen. This was quite a story here, quite a setting. This situation that Israel and Zidon had seemed to have gotten themselves into. Israel had rejected God so long and had failed to put Him first in their lives that sin began to creep in and the land was desecrated and the judgment of God was upon it. God was against Zidon because the woman that came out of Zidon brought her idols with her over into the land of Israel. Her name was Jezebel, and she taught Israel to bow down to idols. Idolatry filled the land. And this was why God called Elijah to pronounce judgment upon these two nations. And all of a sudden, Elijah stepped out on the scene and said, Thus saith the Lord, You will not see rain, nor there will be no dew in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And, of course, you can imagine what began to happen. When the land began to be desolate, when famine began to come, and when the cattle began to die, and when the land was parched, and there was no grass to be had for the cattle of the field, and jobs began to play out, and there was no more jobs for the people, and starvation was setting in, and it was just a deplorable situation. But you know, it's amazing how God always provides for His own. I could stand here tonight and tell you many stories about God answers prayer, and God makes a way for His people. I was raised up to trust and to fear God, and I've seen the hand of God at work so many times. And I know what He can do. I know what He will do. I know that there comes a time in our lives when we have to almost trust the meal barrel, just like the widow woman did. And so, in this situation, God took care of Elijah. He sent him down by Brook Cherith. And he stayed there a long time. The angels ministered to his needs. The raven brought food in for him to eat. He ate water from the brook Cherith. He was getting along just fine. And he thought he was all alone. In fact, he said, Lord, I'm all by myself. God said, No, you're not by yourself. There are still 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So don't worry about that, Elijah. You're not alone. It was a wonderful thing how Obadiah had been able to hide these 7,000 in caves by 50, and get food to them every week. They were actually fed from food that came from Ahab, the king's table. And it seemed like God had a special way in taking care of his own. Elijah was fed by the ravens and drank the water of the brook, and the prophets of God and the people of God were preserved, and they got their daily rations and seemed to be getting along all right. I want you to know that we can trust the Lord at all times, and he will make a way. And I appreciated so very much what was said here tonight in the testimonies. I agree with Brother Wolfram. If there are those that are oppressed here tonight, there are those that are almost in despair. There are many, I'm sure, that are being tormented and aggravated by a lot of things. I'd like to tell you that God never fails. You can put your trust in him. He is one that will see you through. I don't care how great your problem is, how big the burden is in your heart and life tonight. There's always one that knows. There's always one that cares. There's always one that understands. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible tells us. And the silver and the gold belongs to him. Everything is in the hands of God. And it's a wonderful thing when we can really put our trust in him. And meal-barrel religion just spells out simply trusting God but emptying ourselves. You know, it's hard to trust God when you have a big bank account and savings account and plenty of food in the icebox and the deep freeze. It'd be hard to really trust God then and say, well, I don't really need to trust God. During that time, you need to trust your soul in his hands like you never have before. Maybe not your body so much. We're living in a day of plenty. Jobs are plentiful, and people seem to be getting along pretty well, and we're all filled, and we have what we need, but we'd better more and more trust our souls into the hands of the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight, if we don't do it, we're going to find ourselves caught up with the spirit of this age that we're living in, this age of getting plenty and never satisfied and working hard and overtime and two jobs and the husband and the wife both working and trying to keep up with everybody else, and the spirit of this age will get to you after a while. Oh, that we could really trust the Lord the way that we need to. The Bible said, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. Commit your ways in him, and he will direct your path. I found that to be true in my life. That's why I can stand here and preach it to you tonight, because I know that it will work. And all of a sudden, the brook dries up. All of a sudden, everything is gone. All of a sudden, there's no ravens flying in with food. And there's no food to eat. And there's no water to drink. And the word of the Lord comes to Elijah again. Says, this time, I want you to get up and go to Zarephath in Zidon. And I looked that up today, and it's about 100 miles away. And Elijah had to walk. I don't know how he made it. I don't know if he had to walk all the way. The Bible doesn't say. But he got up and made his way to Zarephath because God said that he had a widow woman there that would sustain him, take care of him. And journeying 100 miles, I'm sure that he was ready for something to eat when he got there. And as he walked into the gate of the city, there happened to be a woman there picking up sticks. And so he asked her what she was doing. She said, I'm getting ready to prepare the last little handful of meal that I have, and I'm going to fix it for myself. I'm going to fix it for my only son who's sick and afflicted. We're going to eat that, and we're going to die. We don't have any cause to live or any hope to live. We have no goal. His father's gone. My husband is dead. We have no one to lean upon. There's no strength. There's no dependence. There's no check coming in. There's nobody to come by every day and see how we're doing. This is the end. When we eat this, it's all gone. It's all over after this. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to starve to death. We're going to die. I imagine they've just been barely getting along with the meager fare already. But that old prophet of God looked at that woman, and he'd had 3 good square meals every day,
And he'd been getting along just fine, and he had the audacity to ask her to bring him the first cake. She tried to tell him she only had enough meal for one cake, and they were going to eat that and die. But he said, "You bring me the first cake." And so that's where the meal barrel test comes in. She goes to that meal barrel in obedience to the man of God. Meal barrel religion, first of all, begins with obedience. We'll never get very far in this world without obedience. I could stand here a long time tonight and talk to you about obedience. The reason a lot of people are not getting along too well in this world spiritually is because they have missed the mark somewhere in their obedience. They have become unfaithful, undependable, inconsistent. They do not live on the line like God wants them to live. The reason we are in a rebellious generation is because many times young people, they don't want to be obedient to anybody. Somebody tells them what to do, they look at them as if to say, "Who are you to tell me what to do? I'll do as I please." That's that spirit of rebellion. The Bible said that disobedience is like rebellion, and rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And that old sin is certainly creeping across this world tonight, sweeping across the world. It all begins with obedience. On the day of Pentecost, when the message of salvation was given, thank God there were 3,000 that were obedient to the word of the Lord. They were willing, after they were pricked in their hearts, they were willing to repent of their sins and get baptized in Jesus' name. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. It was because of obedience. This woman could have looked at that little handful of meal, held it in her hands, looked at her sick and dying son, and looked at that old prophet of God and said, "I don't know why this is required of me. I refuse to do it." But whatever the prophet of God said, she was willing to do it. I wouldn't want to be in the condition some of you young people are in. Your pastor has talked to you many times about certain things you need to do. You have showed a spirit of rebellion. You haven't been willing to do it. I feel sorry for you. I know down the line somewhere you're headed for trouble. The way I feel, if my pastor would tell me I needed to cut my head, almost shave my head, I feel like obedience is so important in our walk with God. You start allowing a spirit of disobedience and rebellion get hold of you. I want you to know you're headed for a road of witchcraft and idolatry. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I hope you will take this as a message from the Lord. I prayed earnestly today that God would help us to preach the word of the Lord. I know the responsibility is great. I know the pressure is great. The pressure of evil all around us is so great. I feel it every day that I live. I went home last Sunday night from service. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to say anything. All day Monday, I didn't want to say anything. I just felt the pressures of the things that I preach, and the devil would like for us to compromise a little bit and try to make us think that it doesn't make any difference. And I've wrestled and I've fought. You don't know how preachers of the gospel have to fight. I've had to fight for every inch of ground that I have gained. I've had to wrestle against the force of evil for every move of God that we've ever had. I've had to get clubs in my hands and spiritually drive the fowls of the air away many times just so I can have a little liberty to stand in the pulpit and preach the word of God. I'm not tired of the fight. I'm going to keep on fighting and pressing and battling because I know that he that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. Thank God there is a power that's greater than all of the powers of darkness. I refuse to let him back me up in the corner. I refuse to allow him to make me think I need to compromise.
Listen, folks, this is not an hour for compromising. This is an hour for obedience. Oh, when you look at the Scripture and it says certain things, don't argue with it. Don't try to get around it. Don't try to make excuses. Don't try to compromise. But say, thank God it's in the Word, and though I don't understand it and it goes against the grain, I'm going to be obedient.
Praise the Lord.
Meal-barrel religion is emptying ourselves, getting rid of a lot of self. This woman had to empty that barrel of her own personal possessions before she could get what God had for her. She couldn't see it. He didn't even promise her that she would have more. He didn't say to her, after you cook a meal for me, you can have one for yourself. You can have one for your son. He didn't say that. He didn't make any commitments at all. He just simply said, bring what you have and give it to me. Amen. That's asking a mighty lot from a little woman who has an afflicted son who's ready to die, and she's ready to die herself. She's come to the end of the road already, and all of a sudden you have to give the last little bit that you have. Amen. I've always found when I'd give that last little bit that I had to the Lord, He'd always give me a little bit more. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll never go wrong when you trust the Lord. Never. I heard my dad tell about many times the experiences how God supplied the need. And one time he left my mother and four children that were in home at that time in a little place in northeast Texas called Deport, way back out in the country, a little house. He'd gone somewhere to preach a meeting. Had to wait several days to get an offering so he could send a little money home to meet the need. And Mother said on Sunday morning she prepared the last little bit of food that she had. And then she got the four children around her knees and she began to pray. And she said, now children, let's pray. We don't have any more food in the house, but God is able. Amen. While they were praying, God spoke to a man in the town to go and see how Sister Kilgore was getting along. So he told his wife, said, we're going to go out today and see how Sister Kilgore and the children are doing. Said, when we go, we're going to take plenty of groceries because I have a feeling they're in need. And so that afternoon, that old wagon came coming down the road, and God was answering the prayer. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. All we need to do is just be obedient to Him. Don't be afraid to trust Him. Step out on faith. You're trying to figure it out. Some of you folks are trying to analyze Pentecost, and you're scrutinizing it, and you're trying to figure it all out. You've got it dissected in your mind, and you're trying to fit it in place. Amen. God doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to obey His Word. If you'll obey His Word, all the questions will be answered. Everything will fall in place. And I promise you that everything will be all right. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless His wonderful name. Thank God. Hallelujah. Elijah sat there in front of that woman and her son and ate that meal. He wasn't embarrassed. He made no excuses. He didn't act at all ashamed. He ate it, and when he got through, he said, go prepare something for your son. Go prepare something for yourself. She said, oh, my Lord, don't you understand? I told you a while ago I only had a handful of meal in the barrel. I made sure that I got all of it for you. I was doing what you asked me to do. He said, I want you to go back again. And so she went back to the meal barrel. And to her amazement, in the bottom of that barrel, there was another handful of meal. She prepared for that sick son and herself. They ate. The next morning they got up. Elijah said, let's eat. She said, oh, my Lord, I know I got it all that time. I turned it upside down. I patted it on the bottom. I patted it on the sides. I got every bit of it out. He said, you go look again. And when she went and looked again, there was another handful of meal.
What's happening around here? What in the world's taking place? She didn't know,
but something, the invisible forces were working while she was asleep that night. Somehow the angels of the Lord constructed a pipeline from the throne of grace, and it came all the way down and fitted right into that meal barrel, and she couldn't see it. It was invisible. And every day the Lord told the angel, put another handful of meal there. Let it go down that pipeline into the barrel. No, the Bible doesn't say that, but I'm just imagining. I just imagine that's the way it happened. Because the Bible said for 3 years that woman kept going back every day, and she didn't find a barrel running over. It wasn't brimming full. It wasn't half full, three quarters full, or fourth full. But there was always a handful of meal there every day when she went back to that barrel. I'm talking about something you can depend on. And the third thing I want to mention tonight about meal barrel religion is the fact that we go every day. God gives us enough supply for every day. Some folks try to get enough on Sunday night to last them all week long. No wonder you're weak and anemic and come in with a long face. And it takes me three quarters of the service to get you to even worship God. Amen. You're trying to depend on a little handful of meal to last all week long when God has a handful every day for you. We must learn to live day by day. Give us this day. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's simply going to God every day. Every day. Lord, I thank you for what you did for me Sunday, but here I am on Monday. I've got to have another handful of meal. I'll never be able to make it through all the pressures of evil this day and the forces of the power of the enemy. I've got to have it. God has a way of dispatching that special angel that watches over you, takes care of you. He says, go ahead, give them another handful of meal today. Give us this day our daily bread. It's just simply coming every day to Him. Every day, here I am again, Lord. He never gets tired of us coming. He never gets weary with our asking. He's always waiting there when we're willing to come to Him. Are you willing to come to Him tonight? Bring your little basket that's empty and say, Lord, my basket's empty. I've got to have some help. I've got to have some strength. I need bread. I need bread. I need bread. Hallelujah. And He's always more than willing and able to answer prayer. You know what the Bible said? God never allowed the meal barrel to get empty in the 3 years of the famine, and the cruse of oil didn't fail. That little bit of oil that she had that was just enough to prepare one cake, God allowed it to stretch out for 3 long years. That lets me know that there's something supernatural connected to meal barrel religion. You take the supernatural out of Pentecost, and you've just got a dull, dry, dead, boring religion, just like the religions of mankind. But I like to feel that certain Shekinah glory of God. Amen. I like to feel those cold chill bumps going down my spine once in a while. When I'm preaching, I like to feel that certain feeling. I know that's the anointing of the Lord. I didn't learn that in school. I didn't get quiet anywhere in life. But oh, that's the good grace of God. That's God putting another handful of meal. And it runs down to the pulpit, and it fills my heart. Thank God for the supernatural. Amen. I'm glad that God can still deal with the hearts of men. And the next thing about meal barrel religion is faith. Just simply believing God. Going back every day. It lasted as long as she needed it. When the famine was over, and the rain began to fall, and the ground was wet, and the grass began to grow, she didn't need that handful every day. She was able to get out and work. Her son was able to get out and work and to provide for themselves. But as long as she needed it, the Lord was always there with her. That's faith. Hebrews 11:6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are made were seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That spells faith. You come to God, simply believe that He is a rewarder, that He will give what you need. You ask anything in His name, the Bible tells us He will give it unto you. Faith in God brings the impossible to reality. Faith in His goodness supplies every need. Faith in His daily provision will see to it that you get everything that you need as long as you trust in Him. Thank God. Just a little more faith. That's all you need. Just the faith enough to get up out of your seat and walk down these aisles, kneel at an old-fashioned altar, and say, "This is it, God. I don't understand it. I can't figure it all out. But I'm stepping out on faith, and I'm believing that you're going to do something for me." That's all it takes. Praise God. Just simply believing, taking Him at His word. The final thing about meal barrel religion is the fact that it'll see you through. What I'm talking about will see you from here to there. Thank God. It helped this woman for 3 years. It sustained her all the way. She didn't have to starve to death. Her son didn't die. And God took care of her. I'm talking about a religion that will see you through. Amen. It'll see you through. We've got hold of the littlest end of the biggest thing this side of heaven. And it's going to see us through. Praise God. I don't worry about backsliding or failing or missing. I just believe that God is able to see us through. As long as I'll trust Him, do my part, I know that He will see us through. Thank God. I wonder what it was like that night when Paul was on the ship and they were sailing along, and all of a sudden the storm came, and for many days there was complete darkness surrounding that ship. And there was despair on board. Those 200-plus sailors were doing everything they could. Finally, they threw everything they had overboard to lighten the ship. And then the ship was about to be broken in pieces, and they knew it. And those sailors got together and said, "We better cast ourselves into the sea. Perhaps some of us will be saved." But they looked into the face of a man who had been fasting for many days and had a walk with God. And that was the prisoner that was on board. Of all people, they're looking into the face of the prisoner, the calmest one of the bunch. And he said, "Sirs, don't do this. Don't harm yourselves. Don't jump overboard." Amen. Said, "I believe God. Be of good cheer. I believe God. And if you'll abide in the ship, you're going to be saved." And God gave him every one of those men. I want to be able to look in the middle of the storm into the face of a man who says, "Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God." I want you to know I believe Him tonight.